Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Work Lab podcast from Microsoft answers the questions that keep business leaders up at night. Like, how can I reinvent processes for the AI era, from customer service to sales to HR? How can I prepare for AI to fundamentally transform jobs, companies, industries, and the whole economy? Don't panic. Tune in. Each episode of Work Lab brings you the top experts, hard data, and actionable insights to help you future-proof your organization. Check out Work Lab, that's WORKLAB, no spaces, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On today's episode, we're talking Bitcoin's Golden Cross, central bank digital currencies, and behind the scenes, a telegram with the SEC. It's December 9th, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the sector over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin is down slightly this morning, about 0.3% over the past 24 hours, to $7,529. Ether is up about 1% to nearly $151, and XRP from Ripple is off 0.4% to 22.9 cents. In traditional markets, investors are focused on this week's Federal Reserve meeting, with the latest monetary policy announcement from the U.S. Central Bank due out on Wednesday. No change is expected to the Fed's key interest rates, currently set in the range of 1.5% to 1.75%, though traders will certainly scrutinize the Fed's accompanying statement on the potential path of interest rates next year. S&P 500 futures are little changed, while the U.S. Treasury bond yield is unchanged at 1.84%. Gold is up 0.2% to $1,468 an ounce. The dollar is slightly weaker versus the euro, yen, and British pound. Brad, tell us what we're seeing in the Bitcoin markets.
As you say, Adam, Bitcoin currently around $7,500, down just slightly on the morning, right in the middle of the range between $7,800 and $6,900, where the largest cryptocurrency has been stuck for almost 3 weeks now. But CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole reports that a new bullish sign has emerged in the price charts that many traders analyze for clues about the future path of Bitcoin. This bullish sign is known as the Golden Cross, and it can be seen in the weekly price chart. Essentially, that's when the moving average of Bitcoin's price over the past 50 weeks crosses above the 100-week moving average. Now, this hasn't happened in 3.5 years, but when it last happened in May 2016, Bitcoin subsequently went on a bull run that lasted through late 2017. Godbole reports that it might be different this time, since some indicators on the charts are still pointing bearish, and thus there may not be a big rush of buyers into the market following this Golden Cross. One cryptocurrency charting analyst, known by the Twitter handle PhilbPhilb with 34,000 followers, wrote on Cointelegraph that, quote, "the bulls and bears are struggling to find a direction," end of quote. What's interesting, Adam, is that Bitcoin is now just a couple weeks from the end of the year. And if it finishes at the current price level, it would still be roughly double where it started 2019, making Bitcoin one of the world's best performing asset classes, roughly 4 times the 25% gain year to date for the S&P 500. Crypto Oracle's Lou Kerner noted in a Medium post yesterday that while total launches of new crypto funds this year is expected to total 140, down about 50% from last year, the total assets under management in these funds have nearly doubled to about $19 billion, thanks largely to Bitcoin's price rally. He cited data from Crypto Fund Research. And CoinDesk's Nathan DiCamillo reports that a new survey to be released soon from the big U.S. bank State Street will show that some 38% of clients plan to put more money into digital assets in 2020. Meanwhile, signs continue to mount that the crypto industry's development continues at a rapid pace. Juniper Research released a study today predicting that global international digital money transfer transaction volume will rise to $2 billion by 2024, up from $1.1 billion this year. And the Intercontinental Exchange's backed crypto affiliate has gone live with options trading and cash-settled futures trading. Meanwhile, OKX, the Malta-based exchange, announced today it will start adding cryptocurrency options trading later this month. CME, a big Chicago's future exchange, plans to start options trading early next year. Now, CoinDesk's Will Foxley reports that the Ethereum blockchain has completed its third upgrade this year, a non-contentious hard fork known as Istanbul. And the Chinese financial news service Caijing reported earlier today that China plans to pilot tests of its new digital currency in the cities of Shenzhen and Suzhou, likely with the participation of the country's giant state-owned banks, including the likes of Commercial Bank of China and Bank of China. The first phase of the pilot is expected this year. Finally, the Wall Street Journal noted in a big story on Sunday that U.S. government deficits could double to $2 trillion annually in an economic downturn due to limitations on just how much monetary policy stimulus the Federal Reserve can provide. This could play into the investment narrative of Bitcoin as a potential hedge against the unsustainability of U.S. government finance. Back to you, Adam.
And for today's featured story, we're taking a look at recent comments around proposed central bank digital currencies. While we are still waiting to see how these manifest in real life, it looks like we'll get that chance sometime next year if goals are met. Leo Jacobson, reporting from Modern Consensus on December 6th, writes, quote, "While China and the European Union rush forward on creating a digital currency, the U.S. doesn't see the need for one for at least 5 years. In a hearing before the House Financial Services Committee on December 5th, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that neither he nor Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell believe a central bank digital currency will be needed until at least 2025. The reason is simple, he said. The U.S. doesn't need one. But a governor of the Bank of France and the European Central Bank have a somewhat different perspective. They want a central bank digital currency, and they want it soon. On December 4th, a governor of France's central bank called for a French central bank digital currency to be tested before the end of the first quarter of 2020. The digital currency should be able to morph into an EU-wide e-euro, he said. Blockchain might be an ideal tool, at least for the back-end infrastructure, he added. That digital currency must work across the entire 27-member bloc. It must run out of Europe, and it must eventually be able to become a global currency. China has also fast-tracked a central bank digital currency with strong indications it will launch in 2020, end quote. Today we live in a world built on top of and almost entirely around the dollar. That's a system which serves some well and others less well. While we don't know which country will be first, it seems obvious that it's only a matter of time before we see a non-US central bank digital currency. In Bitcoin, we've seen a cycle of adoption repeat for reasons which are both easy to understand and yet also hard to see. Technologies like blockchain introduce new possibilities. But if things are going great, then why would you want those? When you look at any system in the real world, the people who are most happy with it tend to be the ones best served by it. They see the value they're getting and they're satisfied. Why wouldn't they be? On the other hand, those whose needs are not being met by the status quo often have little love for it, attachment to it, and would take an alternative, sometimes any alternative, if only one could exist. With these proposed central bank digital currencies, we're seeing the start of a real alternative. And how this all shakes out in a world of competing central bank digital currencies is anybody's guess. If you'd like to read the whole article at Modern Consensus, you'll find a link in the show notes of this episode. And now for our altcoin spotlight, we're looking at a new filing in the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission case against the Telegram Open Network. Brad has the details for you and what it all means for crypto traders.
That's right, Adam. Today, we're looking at the latest news on Telegram, a cloud-based messaging and voice-over IP service started in 2013 with around 200 million mobile and desktop users. Notably, it's become the go-to instant messaging app of choice for many people working in the crypto industry. Now, one of the things that's interesting here, Adam, is that this case is attracting so much attention, even though the token we're talking about, in this case, the Gram, isn't even really traded on any of the major crypto exchanges. Telegram was founded in 2013, but starting last year, executives began pushing to set up a new blockchain called the Telegram Open Network. In 2018, they raised $1.7 billion for the project through an initial coin offering. The new network was scheduled to go live this year, but on October 11th, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filed an emergency restraining order in an attempt to prevent Telegram Group from distributing grams within the U.S., calling the issuance an unlawful securities offering. Telegram has delayed the launch of the network to April 30th of next year, but in the meantime has been pushing back against the SEC's case. The latest news comes from CoinDesk's Anna Bydakova, who reports that the SEC wants Telegram's former chief investment advisor, a former Morgan Stanley investment banker named John Hyman, to testify and hand over relevant documents. According to a filing from the SEC on Friday, Hyman was heavily involved in the Telegram network's fundraising, but he has declined to meet with the commission voluntarily. A court date with the SEC is set for February. What's interesting is that despite such a formidable foe in the form of the SEC, Telegram appears undaunted in its efforts to get this network going. Bydakova has previously reported that there's even a secondary aftermarket where these Gram tokens are traded, essentially informal IOUs where the original buyers of the tokens have sold their allocations via over-the-counter trading desks. The SEC cites this so-called gray market in its latest filing, citing emails showing that Hyman took a keen interest in where the prices were trading. Now, according to Bydakova, pricing is hard to come by since the Gram tokens aren't really listed on any crypto exchanges, but she's reported that as of August, the tokens had traded as high as $2 in the secondary market, in some cases a quintupling of the original cost. Now, I was just messaging with Bydakova this morning, and it's hard to get an update on where the prices are trading in this gray market. The whole episode shows just how messy these token offerings can become, especially in the face of skepticism and, in some cases, open hostility from U.S. regulators. But it also reinforces just how big of a year 2020 is shaping up to be for the crypto industry, with key developments on the horizon, including not just Bitcoin's expected halving in May, but also China's release of a national digital currency and a potential resolution of this big Telegram case. Back to you, Adam.
Join us again on Tuesday for the next Daily Markets from CoinDesk. And to all of you, thanks for listening. If you have thoughts, comments, or questions about the Daily Market Show so far, send an email to podcasts@coindesk.com. We'll see you next time.